scream it, buddy. Say please. Watching the video, he doesn't look like a rock star. Looks like Ringo Starr. Let's hear from her. That's good. That was nice. That's about enough of that. Baby, honestly. Charlie Puth. I don't know. More millennial hipsters putting out videos that I don't mind. All right. Fun songs. A lot of driving this weekend. What's going on? It's a Ken Braverman podcast, everybody. It's Tuesday. What day? 12th, I think. June 12th? Yep. That's what all the devices say, so that must be right. How's everyone doing? It's Tuesday morning. It's 5:40 a.m. Early start on the day. I caught up on some sleep yesterday. I missed like 3 days of sleep in a row, but you know, it only takes one to recover, right? There's like a 1-to-3 ratio of sleep hours to awake hours. That if you keep that something close to that, I think your body can stay healthy. At least that's the way a lot of them are set because of the sun. Basically, that our biological, our bodies got trained to the sun to be awake when the sun is out and sleeping a lot of times when the sun is down. That's what you would think would happen, right? So that's kind of what our bodies get used to, but we can't adjust that. We all can turn into Jay Leno if we want to. Jay Leno only sleeps like 4 hours a night and just wakes up in the middle of the night writing jokes. I believe he still does that. We can change, we can adjust, but that's not what this pod is about. That's just a road I went down for a second. I have a million things to talk about. As always. And the direction that this pod is going to go, I kind of realized this morning, is that I'm running for president in 2020. So every pod's going to be about things I'm going to do and why. And because I should be president. And let me tell you why. I woke up this morning and about like a little less than an hour ago, and you grab the phone. I mean, the phone has become an extension of my life now. I noticed the difference when I don't have my phone on me doing stuff. When I like had my son yesterday and he grabs my phone, because he of course loves it. That's what your kids end up doing, is your kids end up seeing what you value, whether or not you say it or not, and then using that as a guide and adopting it. He sees me on my phone using it as a crutch for everything, so therefore he wants it. And he also wants to use it to play games and do whatever. Have fun, right? So I notice it when he has my phone running around, or I'm driving and he has my phone, and something happens and I need to do something and I don't have it. So whatever, wake up in the morning, grab the phone and throw on the news. Or just see some news, rotate. I mean, what do you do when you're on your device? Or does your device run your life too, you know, in a way? Or is your device, you know, probably your phone. Is that the car you drive to get information all day long, essentially, right? And the answer is yes. So another reason why people love cars and spend a lot of money in cars sometimes, because you spend so much time in them and you live in them. You live with your device too. So I rotate through different types of things, different, you know, personal email, news site, Facebook, whatever, right? I'm sure. And then how many do we do? I remember back when the internet first came out, I saw that there were so many different websites. I thought, wow, in the future, we're probably just going to all go browse around a different website every day to take in new information. I bet you that's how it's going to work. No, sorry, not true. That's not how we do it. We are creatures of habit and of custom. And so we end up getting comfortable with a website and we go back to that place to let them filter what we get and bring it in. Right. And so it's kind of an appropriate discussion today for the FCC rules supposedly going into effect, changes in the way that we're going to monitor or be able to see certain information now. It's brought in from different sources. Like, wonder if you're going to have trouble getting the Ken Braverman podcast today. You know, if you, if Trump was on to me, and I don't think he is, but if he was, he would make it so that people that could be affected by my voice have difficulty hearing it. You know, like if you're a diehard Trump supporter that only watches one news source that is a propaganda source and not real, honest, actual recounts of what are happening or objective accounts of what are happening. If you watch one source and, you know, all you get are stories like, you never get, say there's a pivotal piece of information that you are missing because it's being concealed. This is the real problem. Wow, I didn't even think this would be the topic of the podcast, but this is actually a real problem. All right, we can lump it all together. I'm not going to get too political and too over the top. Maybe I will. But I'm not going to try to make it boring. I'm going to try to make it real. I have that problem sometimes. So let's try to make it real. Pivotal pieces of information, right? Let me explain what pivotal pieces of information are. If not told them, they change your life. Right. And the person who has that information knows that it's life-changing information. Let me give you an example, one that's personal and kind of disgusting. And then I'm going to change it into one that's actually more important, I think. So let's talk about a pivotal piece of information. Donald Trump once told Bill Gates that he didn't know the difference between HPV and HIV. You know, which one is which? Which one are the warts on your junk? Well, warts and HPV. HPV is sort of a wart. Which one's a wart and which one is a virus that will kill you eventually and turn into AIDS? That's really what the question is, because it's just three letters, and HIV and HPV are just off by an I and a P, right? Just an I and a P. When that's the way your brain works. That's a weird question to ask. So, kind of sounds like a joke. Let's even assume that Bill Gates misheard that wrong and not even claim that Trump said that. Okay. But let's see this. Let's say that when you are raw dogging porn stars, there's a chance that you might get one of those or both. And if you lie to your spouse about things you are doing when you are intermittently having sex with your spouse, and you are raw dogging porn stars. Think about that. I remember hearing stories about porn stars having to get tested every few months to make sure that they don't have deadly and painful and gross venereal diseases because they're doing a lot of, you know, deep anal, right? I mean, stuff's going to get spread. Sores get opened up, right? It's gross. And I think that if you are withholding that information from your spouse, because you are going to be probably raw dogging your spouse if you're having children with your spouse, you know, just kind of move to a condom. Actually, sometimes you do, but usually you don't move to a condom, not having a condom unless there's a non-pregnancy. All I'm saying is pivotal piece of information here, right? I'm sure Melania would have known. And I think that when she finally realized that this was happening, which I'm sure she did at this point, which is why you don't see her and why she doesn't talk anymore, she literally, with her mind, made herself sick due to the stress and had to go into the hospital for something which probably was the manifestation of a venereal disease that was given to her by the president. Don't you think? Do you think you get blood cut off to one kidney? because you don't have something nasty. Now, it could be totally unrelated to venereal disease, Ken, right? You don't know that. But I'll tell you that worrying yourself sick and stress has an impact on your life because it makes your body not want to fight when you're getting beat up emotionally, when you're getting beat up. This is a lack of... Now, let me tell you why withholding that personal information that you are raw-dogging porn stars is actually a crime, by the way, in certain areas of the country. I know it's a crime in Maryland because we had some dude here who had AIDS and then went around on a fucking spree trying to kill every woman because he hated women. That was a crime and they locked him up for that, right? Because withholding that you have HIV, you are wielding your junk as a deadly weapon, right? You really are. Now, okay, so I believe that, of course, president was lying to his wife about what he was doing, and it was withholding pivotal information. He's having unprotected sex with people that are clearly at risk, right? Highly at risk. Now, that could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a porn star. But anyway, withholding pivotal information. Now, so you can see how withholding, simply withholding pivotal information, or if you want to even say that that's not about withholding, that's about lying and doing something, you're breaking a vow, right? You got married. You didn't legally sign a line saying you weren't going to cheat, but it's commonly known that you are, you know, you're pulling one over on someone, right? So that's the other part of withholding and why you withhold information is because you're doing that. Well, here's the pivotal piece of information that as every time I bring it up to anyone, no matter how diehard supporter or whether they're on the other side, whether they hate him or whether they love him, whenever I bring this up, the response is always the same. It's always, no, that's not true. He'd be in jail. And it's always that response. And I'm like, no, it is true. And he will be in jail eventually. But okay. So here's the withholding of pivotal information part. All right. And of course, and you guys have heard me say it 100 times. So how can I say it without sounding like an annoying, whiny bitch? How can I say that? The withholding part of information is that this. Is that secretly your daddy is Vlad. Secretly, my daddy is Vlad. Like, what I mean by that is, secretly, Trump's business is dependent upon the Russian oligarch money. So everything he does in his name and what supports him is by the Russians. So, of course, that's why he wants to have Russia back in the G7 plus make it G8. Of course, he goes out there and says these ridiculous things. We threw Russia out of the G8 because they invaded another country and went in and lied about it. They dressed their soldiers up like not Russians and crossed the border. I mean, it's like us going into Vancouver. It's like Americans sneaking into Vancouver and being like, hey, what's up, eh? You know, we always like this Whistler, eh? I think Whistler's going to be part of Washington State now, eh? Can you imagine if we just go ahead and did that? You think Trudeau would say we as Canadians, we will not be pushed around. Of course, you'll be pushed around. You're Canadians and you'll be polite about it. Be like, well, sorry for you pushing me around, eh? Right? That's what you would probably say. Canada, they're great people, by the way. I love Canadians. Canadians, you never hear about Canadians getting into huge wars. It's not like the Nunavuts are constantly, you know, killing the Eskimos all damn day long. No, they're just looking to go, you know, just look at a fish, right? Nobody cares. Anyway, so withholding information. Withholding that all of your loans are from Russia is a big withhold. It's a huge withhold, and why it's enormous is then we don't understand why we're trying to destroy, why Trump does things like create tariffs out of nowhere to burn bridges and make enemies of our friends. We don't understand why he's doing that unless you look at it through the prism of Vlad is my daddy. Because when you realize that Vlad is his daddy, then you understand why he's trying to destroy everything. And so it's an affront to what Americans or globalists or human beings with brains and empathy, right? See that Vlad is his daddy and then see him just go around wagging his tail, you know, pushing his HIV, HPV onto everyone. And he's just ejaculating HPV on America And Vlad is laughing, being like, "Oh, I'm glad I don't live there. Fucking the HPV there is bad." Yeah, that's because that's all he's doing. So sit and watch that is frustrating. It's frustrating, and I get angry, and I want to yell at people. And then I realize, no, they no, it's actually if they knew this, they would not be okay with this. They would reevaluate and realize, oh, I was lied to. I was does anyone here blame Melania for having sex with Donald Trump? Does anyone here think she's a bad person for doing that? No, of course not. If she did it to come here and get a visa and didn't want to and bring her parents over and didn't love the country she was in and wanted to be an American, and she did it for that reason, you can kind of say, well, maybe she deserved the HPV. No, that even that's wrong. No, nobody deserves HPV from Donald Trump. I don't think you do. So no matter what her motivations were, maybe she loved him, maybe she does. I mean, she stuck with him a long time. I shouldn't knock her. You know what? I don't know their situation. And all I can tell you is that she didn't deserve to get whatever Donald gave her. And I don't know what Donald gave her, but I know he was raw dog and porn stars because I believe Stephanie Clifford's. And I believe Michael Avenatti. And I believe everybody else who's come out because we're dealing with someone who withholds pivotal pieces of information and pulls one over on us. And I mean, I'm sick of getting this pulled over on me. I think that everyone should be. We're all getting one pulled over on us. Even Vlad is getting one pulled over on us. Do you know what Trump did to his daddy, Vlad? Because he's a moron. He accidentally expelled three times, four to five times as many diplomats, or diplomats, four to five times as many people that we'd identified essentially as Russian spies out of the country than he was supposed to. Because he doesn't, because he wasn't, he was running too fast. And somebody came in and said, okay, Germany gave away expelled two people, and the Netherlands expelled four, and Switzerland just probably kept everybody. But you know, how many should we expel, Mr. President? How many should we get rid of? And he's like, well, just match what everybody else did. You know, Matt, and that's what he said. What he meant to say was match the lowest amount that anybody else gave. So, like, if Germany let two people go, then let's just get two people out of here. Instead, the person, and probably an intelligence community officer, decided that they were gonna misinterpret that or accidentally misinterpret that and expelled as many as the total of all the other diplomats from all the other countries. I don't call them diplomats, they were spies. Instead, we accidentally expelled like 30. Trump wanted to only expel a few. Now, so yeah, he screwed Vlad on that one. Oh, you know what else? What else he's done? Vlad wanted the Russian sanctions lifted. Basically, Vlad wanted to move money from about 20 different Russians that he's got all over the world. He wanted to be able to unlock that money, like a video game, unlock that money and use it to rule the world. And the whole reason for the Magnitsky Act, the reason why we have sanctions on this money, is you can't create fake money out of your rubles, pretend like there's billions and billions and billions of dollars of excess wealth coming out of Russia, put it into the international banking system, and use it to buy the rest of the world. It's kind of like, you know, if you had your own country in your own house, right? So you were the United States of Ken's house, right? Assuming I had a house and wasn't homeless. Like, assume that was the case. And you started from that house, you started your own currency, right? It's actually a good debate for the cryptocurrency discussion right now. But you start your own currency and you know, I have 10 bucks, right? My 10 dollars, 10 bucks. It could be little pieces of paper, right? And they have my face on them. And with this 10 buck, it's whatever it's worth according to me, right? And the only way I'm going to turn it into anything of supposed to perceived value would be to take this 10 buck and go exchange it for a US dollar, exchange it for a French franc, exchange it for whatever, right? And if I'm somehow able to get a bank, you know, I get my local BB&T or my Wells Fargo or something here to take my 10 buck and to give me a dollar for it, all of a sudden I've achieved this goal and I've created money out of my own 10 bucks, right? Well, rubles are Putin's 10 bucks, and any bank like Deutsche Bank that's willing to take those rubles and allow them to become US dollars or euros or wands or anything, is allowing implicitly allowing Putin to create money out of nothing because he's doing weird things like like his own Federal Reserve, just creating his own rubles and then trying to make the system work, even though there's really not a lot of wealth there. There isn't super hyperinflation, although there used to be, of the ruble, because it's concealed among fraud. You know, like, you don't know how much is really out there, because if you did, then you would say, oh, wait a minute, there isn't this type of excess wealth in Russia. It really isn't. Which gets to a whole nother discussion, a whole nother pod that I want to do later about how to solve all these weird problems in the era of money not really meaning what it used to mean. Because we have things like alternative energy. I'm gonna end on one weird thing, because I wanted to mention it in the pod, even though I didn't really talk about it much, because Trump met with Kim Jong-un today. And this is one of the only things where Trump being a weirdo actually works out, which is we had someone we couldn't talk to who we had vilified in Kim Jong-un, who does kill his people and strong arms that country. We didn't have a dialogue with him because we knew he wasn't changing and he didn't have anything to offer us, and we knew he wasn't going to work with us because he also is a sociopath. I mean, you don't kill other people recklessly and relatives recklessly in some real life King of the Mountain game where you're just climbing with your ice pick and just tearing down everyone ahead of you, because that's how you get on top. That's what some sociopaths have to do. That's what dictators do. This is why that rises up to a sole source of authority and power, is because they are killing everyone around them to get there. And that's why people fear them and why they let them take that role and extend themselves. So anyway, Kim Jong-un, so you don't deal with a guy like this because you know he's not changing and he's really not going to help you out. And the only real thing is to get rid of him, right? I mean, why do you have a movie with Seth Rogen and James Franco where it was about assassinating? We were like, you know, I understand why Kim Jong-un flipped out, because when you start playing out that sentiment around the world that this person is a villain and should be assassinated, then it's scary when you're that villain, because you live in your own world where everything is about you. And anyway, also not healthy, super not healthy, right? Well, this situation where Trump being a weirdo results in the two of them, these two sociopathic narcissists, realizing that they can feed off each other and they can't actually kill each other in broad daylight because they're both leaders of their own independent nations. Right. And so they end up talking because they're both not a threat to each other. It's weird. They both they want to use each other to enrich themselves. It's kind of funny. I shouldn't say they're not a threat to each other because they're both nuts. But either way, it's funny that they're able to meet. And is that good for the rest of us? The answer is, I don't know. But any open dialogue where all of a sudden we're talking with them and we're not shooting missiles, testing missiles over the Sea of Japan. We're shaking. I don't know what's to come, but it's a funny, weird thing where two destabilizing factors kind of stabilize each other in a weird way. Anyway, okay. The point was, what's the solution to the North Korea problem? I got asked this last night because I was, you know, going off on one of my tirades, and people are like, can you stop with the Russian money? I'm so sick of you. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's like, what would you do with North Korea? How would you solve that problem, bitch? And I'm like, okay, all right. Here's how I'd solve that problem. I would send in wherever these people in North Korea are living. I know they're spread out. I know they're starving, from what I've heard, right? It's a mess. And that country is the size of like New Jersey, right? I think, no, it's even bigger than that. I think that country's the size of probably like Florida. I can't remember how big North Korea is. It's not enormous, but it's a reasonable size and it has some rough terrain, right? I would drop in solar-powered smartphones that work off solar power that have satellite internet. So they are not dependent on an internet source that is inside or geographically tied to like a tower or something close. All their internet is sourced from a satellite or some distant way where it works anywhere. So you've got solar powered free internet provided phones. Gonna drop them around like confetti at the parade for the Caps today, maybe, right? In DC. Just literally fly in a bunch of manless drones and just spurt out a bunch of cell phones everywhere. It is Verizon and AT&T and Korean internet everywhere, right? I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of phones. And why are you doing this? Why? What is this going to do, Ken? Here's what this is going to do. All of a sudden, everybody from the illiterate farm, illiterate farm child in right? Korea. I don't know what the names of their cities are. That child, you know, that 6, 7 year, 8 year old child is all of a sudden going to have a weird robotic phone show up at their house. And there aren't going to be enough militarized North Korean police spread out through the entire country, nor will it be their desire once they see the information that's on these phones, to confiscate and get all of those from everyone. Well, one, and even if they did, we would send in more. We would just keep raining down cell phones. And what's this going to do? It's going to enlighten the folk. It's going to enlighten and help you educate. You can send messages on these phones together. It's basically the ultimate war. If you think about what the Russians have done in our election by polluting Facebook and sending out mixed messages and wrong messages, fake news, all this stuff, and how that has impacted the way that we think. You know, a lot of us overlook or aren't even aware of this pivotal information that the president's loans are coming out of Russia. Like, huge problems, right? The fact that limiting that information has such a huge impact. Well, what happens if we help with the information problem and then the people will unite and they will not allow it? And the people will be able to work together and communicate. And the people will be able to educate, because human beings are generally good and generally empathetic and not generally sociopathic, violent, and destructive. Human beings are a product of our environment. And so we need to enrich our environments for everyone. And that is how you solve these problems. So I want to help enrich our environment, which is why I'm running for president, because I have a million ideas on how to do it. And I want to get started today. So Ken Braverman's out.